Welcome, everyone, to the Thursday night edition of our Stargate Roundtable. We're sorry we had technical difficulties. We're a little late getting started, but we are all here and ready to share. So we open with our dear Angel Sue setting the tone and getting us started with some good energy. So, Angel Sue, pass the talking stick to you.
Thank you, Marita Robert. And hello to all of you. My heart is filled with joy today with a new girl born into our family line. So I just don't want to take up a lot of time because we are running late. So I'm just going to ask you to claim yourself as the divine child of the universe that you are. And call in your support team, your higher self, your beloved twin flame, your guides, masters, teachers, your angels, your councils of light, and all those alighted realms who celebrate your path here. Just the fact that you are who you are. And so as you intend, now that each breath that you take is filled with fine love that is unconditional and with gratitude that just keeps on spreading and magnifying and stretching further and further around the planet, wrapping around within the planet, around the surface, and around the outer aspects of our dear atmosphere and beyond. All this love and gratitude. And so intend that your body can be filled with peace. No matter what situations you're going through now, just ask that your intent find and invite. And find is the proper order that we should look at. The perfect, happy, divine solution. And with this intent in place, now ask that the avatars and the masters and that the angels keep improving this, all these circumstances within your life. Any challenge, health, and we're thinking of you, Lenny, up in Canada, whatever situation that has happened for you and Penny, we are so grateful for who you are, you and your wife. And we also intend this for any other people we know who are going through challenges, because we're all one. And so as we ask for ourselves, we ask for the perfect, happy, divine solution to happen for each being here that is in a challenge situation. And this includes all the kingdoms, all the dimensions, all the parallels, all the potential. And we can even boot it out even farther to all of creation, past, present, and future. And so with this, and whatever we know is going on in our reality at this time, whether it's through media or hearing about it from other people, we want everyone, everything, every circumstance to find wonderment at how blessed they truly are. And we're including, of course, Sara, the Reformation Act. We're including our Faction 3 White Knights and our Galactic Forces of Light and all those white hat, black hat, any being that is involved in experiencing the wonderful blessing of this heaven on earth now. And then we incorporate the law of one, which is the original law of creation. So we're calling in all those beings with our situations, ourselves, and everything, everywhere, from every time. We're calling in the things known and unknown, seen and unseen. And we are saying we are all one. When one is harmed, all are harmed. As one is helped, all are helped. And therefore, in the name of who we are, and we are one with all there is, Owati, one with all there is, we ask that the most amazing, perfect solution happen for the highest good of all concerned, that all are subject to the law of one. And so with this, we just say, oh, my goodness, thank you, thank you, thank you, and do a good job. Keep improving it all to something even more beautiful than any of us could expect. And with this, we're going to say, all men, all women, all children, all beings, all creation, we are all one. Do a good job. Thank you. And with this, Marita Robert, I pass the talking stick.
Well, thank you so much, Angel Sue, and I apologize that I did not get back to you to give you an update. Len has made his transition, and so that we bless him and know that he is in a very good place. And that was, I should have gotten through to you today, but I just wasn't. So thank you for reminding me about that. And we'll pass the talking stick next to Carolyn, who will bring us up to date on what kind of energies are we expecting from the Mayan calendar this year, this week.
Okay, I'll take that talking stick. Thank you, Marita. And yeah, today is the White Solar Dog Day. And that means it's a nine oak. And that's oak, the dog, is unconditional love. And that nine energy is that tone that represents the power of action set into motion. So we just did this with our work with Angel Sue. We just put our love right into unconditional love everywhere. It's set into motion.
I guess we did lose Rainbird, everybody. Maybe we could try her back, BBS. She's up in the mountains sometimes.
You can't hear me?
Hello,
oh,
now we can.
Can you hear me now?
We can hear you
hear me now.
We've lost
you
just for a moment.
Okay. All right, so today's a nine oak, that day of working with unconditional love in expanded cycles of nine that action set it. Set into motion is what this tone represents. So we're working with unconditional love with all that action, in action. And tomorrow is Friday, a 10 Chulin, and 10 is that manifestation tone. And Chulin is the working with our balance of work and play. It's an artist aspect, it's the monkey. And so pay attention to clarity of mind and the wise use of our magical artistry tomorrow as we manifest whatever it is we're manifesting. We do that with those gifts of innocence and spontaneity and that ability to play and humor. So let's manifest joy in our lives tomorrow. And then on Saturday, 11 Eve, the human Eve, and 11, letting go of what no longer serves us. So as we work with that healing aspect as the human, let's work with the enlightenment of humankind and let go of what no longer serves us and or any of us. And we activate cosmic consciousness and attune to spirit with this energy. So enjoy that with that manifestation tone tomorrow working with us. And then Saturday. Which is a manifestation. It's that tone of letting go, that tone of 11, disintegration. So let go of what no longer needs to be with us. And then on Sunday, we have a 12 Ben, and the Ben is the Skywalker, and it's about the warrior aspect, and it's really about our traveling in space as the Skywalker, and our journey is our focus. And we do this with this 12 energy of complex stability, the unity of polarity, the 12 tone. It's also called the crystal tone. It represents the grid matrix, expansion and progress, and tempered by the exploration of self. So it's it's a good tone to work with on Sunday with that journey of the Skywalker, Ben, solar glyph, and then on Monday we'll be working with Ish, the Jaguar priestess, the magician, the priest. And so with that tone of 13, and that's the cosmic transcendent tone, 13, it's the last tone in the wave where we our universal movement of change is the order of the day. And so with that, we do our magician work, our visionary work, with that tone of Ish, and that'll be a good day to do our work. And dream our dreams a week. And then on Tuesday, we start a new wave, and it's a one man, an eagle. And that one tone of unity, and the eagle, that vision, seeing that earth planet from that high place of the eagle vision. So pay attention to your commitment to service and move consciousness to source and reconnect with all creation with this energy. And it carries the gift of independence and the belief in self. Let go of feelings of despair and dissociation and the illusion of separateness. So that's the energy on Monday. I mean, on Tuesday, when we begin a new wave, and then on Wednesday, we're with a 2C, the warrior. C is the warrior, so it's about trusting in our journey and bringing awareness of right action. And we do that with that two energy of polarity, stability. So lots of balance there on Wednesday. And then on Thursday when we come back, it's Thanksgiving Day, and we get to celebrate that day of Thanksgiving with the solar glyph of Kaban, the Earth. So very appropriate for that day, that holiday, and being the keeper of Earth and being in awareness of earth energy. Sit on the ground and give our gratitude to this beautiful planet that nurtures and holds us and calls what we call home, and be that servant warrior to give some gratitude to the earth on this day as we celebrate with a 3 Kaban activation tone, activating our gifts. So there you go. That's the week in review. It's the week to come, not in review. It's coming up, and those are the energies we'll be working with. None of these days are seasonal days. We have this holiday, Thanksgiving, with the Three of Bonds, and I think that's very sweet day for the holiday, working with that energy, those energies. So there you go. I'll pass the talking stick right back to you, Marita. Here it comes.
Well, thank you very much for bringing us up to date. And I will mention that there will be a show next Thursday on Thanksgiving. Part of the team will be here, and we will have Caroline, who will be bringing the collective through. Omina brought her to the show sometime a couple, maybe a couple months ago, and she's going to be here and be our guest next week. So just so you know, that's what's coming up. Now, tonight we have Omina as our guest the second hour, but before we get to that, we want to find out from Rama and Tara who they've talked to this week and what's going on behind the scenes of all this chaos in the world. So I pass the talking stick to whoever wants to take it out there. Rama, Tara?
I'm going to give this to the mouse.
Okay.
Oh. Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
Oh, are you the mouse? Here, Rama.
Okay.
The best way I can sum everything up is Russell Brand, the British comedian from over there who's been on Max Kaiser's show, you know, put in to YouTube Russell Brand, his comments on ISIL. And, I mean, it just sums it up.
How do you spell the last name? Is it just B-R-A-N-D?
Yeah, Russell Brand, very British comedian, with that Cockney accent. I mean, I love it. Kind of like John Lennon and George. This whole story, R-C-I-A, Al-Qaeda, ISIL. This is all just another branch of the black ops that go deep into those DUMBs, deep underground military bases that the Galactics and other folks have been taking out. And I don't think the 13 families have too many left, yet they are burning their bridges behind them. And every second we are watching this charade. It is a giant charade called the Matrix, like Morpheus said. And when the truth really comes out, we're going to help our neighbors out who still think we got two heads. And, you know, people with telepathic abilities and telekinetic abilities, you know, you've been watching too much Star Trek. Well, it's becoming a reality. And this is the place where I gotta just say, so much that has not been told to us since folks like Manly P. Hall and Madame Blavatsky and others were trying to tell the truth in the midst of these madmen who wanted the Tesseract and the other objects of power that control this local universe. And I mean, this is a galactic story, and when we find it out, really, it goes right into the realm that this guy, Stan Lee, has been writing about for years. And it ties in with George Lucas and Star Wars and Gene Roddenberry, Star Trek. And today, George Takei, I think it's also George Takei. Excuse me.
Did you just say it's the 100th anniversary?
100th anniversary of Joe Hill.
He was a unionist.
Union organizer, and they killed him. And Joan Baez does a song about him. She did it at Woodstock. Made everybody cry.
Which one are we going to play?
The one she did in 2005.
Oh, that's with Cindy Sheehan.
Yeah.
That's okay. That's good, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll play that at the end.
Yeah. And what I have heard from Catherine and the various folks I talked to, everything is going on has to do with the infighting between the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and the other branches of the 13 families to the death. And they don't care who's in the crosshairs at the moment. And if you're in the vicinity in the fray, keep your head down. This is what I've been told, because they are mindless in a certain sense, as their connection to the Dark Lord Sauron has been disconnected. This has to do with this whole story here that the solar system, this local sector of the Alpha Quadrant, is in lockdown, including Earth. The only beings that can come into are these hyperdimensional craft that are at the 12th dimension and higher, because it is only about that pure, unconditional, divine, compassionate love. And these beings have none of that, and they're having to learn a real hard lesson right in the moment, because I guess the best way I could describe it is Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, I think, and some of the other nut jobs, you know, voted in a bill to stop the Syrians from coming into the, you know, the states.
Stop any more refugee acceptance.
Yes.
Yet Obama is going to veto it, period. That was in the House that it passed.
That's right.
And there were quite a few Democrats that passed it with them.
Yes.
And remember, there's only 64 good members of Congress that are going to be standing when this is all done. Although this is blood-curdling, and as you are going to buy the story, fear is totally running the show in this country.
And I'll just say it for the record. ISIL is not coming into New York City Times Square, but Bush and the rest of his goons and gangs and thugs.
ISIL. They're the fox in the hen house.
They are. Look around you. Why do these people need private military contractor armies to protect them? And I do mean Jeb Bush at the moment.
And Bush Senior does not have any more money to keep those people running around to, quote unquote, protect him. It's already said out there.
And Mr. Tyson is long gone off the planet. And if you're eating that kind of food, oh my God, I'm just saying.
Oh, you mean Tyson chicken?
Yes.
Oh, his lineage isn't gone.
It's not.
And they're the ones that funded the Bushes as the sheriffs.
That's right.
Tyson family are Nazi family, yes.
And this ties in with Mr. Hare. And what he has been saying, that is just like beyond, I just can't imagine somebody directly insulting the president like he has and get away with it and not get a visit from the Secret Service or a few folks. Well, they're all in bed together.
That's right. And Ted Cruz insult the...
Yeah, he challenged Obama and said, get in my face.
Well, no, what he said is... You know, basically called Obama a coward for going to a different country,
right,
and then, quote unquote, insulting him. He took it a direct insult.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to say that I'm going to say it again. We're watching Malcolm X's son.
Yes. He is a master.
Do what he's to be doing. And there's so many people that don't believe that. They have no idea. And again, there's also such a little bit of information about who Malcolm X really was. And he was not a violent violent human being.
No.
No, he was not. Yet, on Tom Hartman has been not on his show today, and he won't be tomorrow. And so Danielle and
Shano
took over. And in section, Danielle really made a stand on what is going on here. And I thought we just might play that right now just to listen.
Yeah, I mean, this is just so poignant to what is being said right now by the fearmongers who, you know.
Well, it's just not who we are.
No.
And when someone like Hillary Clinton says it, it doesn't have the same standing because of what she's attaching it to.
And there's a whole nother set of baggage with that one.
Yeah, she made a speech. Also
all dressed in white. Oh, my God. She, I don't know what to say.
Yeah, and remember, that's Hillary's grandfather is Hitler. And it's
send more love.
It's a very and today also Danielle and Shano played a few bits of Bernie Sanders' speech on what is democratic socialism. So we're going to play those few little clips too. Why don't we just move this over and listen to this? And fear does not have a place in our consciousness. Only love, everyone. Only love. Love always wins. Okay, got you out of the way, Rella.
It's coming.
Wait a second here. Okay.
The Tom Hartman Program. I'm Danielle here with Shano, sitting in for Tom today. Tom is out. He had some important meetings to attend, and he will be back before you know it. But in the meantime, we're sitting in talking about lots of important topics today.
And you are fired up. I can just tell.
I am very fired up.
You're like, Shane, be quiet for this first segment. I have a lot to say.
I have had a lot to say for days.
With you fighting on Facebook, I know that you're fired up.
And I'm finally getting a chance to tell you guys the story that I have been wanting to tell you for days. And it's a story about a 15-year-old girl named Giselle. And her and her mother and her younger sister were trying to flee dictators and terrorists. And they set off on a very scary journey to leave their country, to leave the war-torn area that was no longer home, where their property had been confiscated or destroyed, where their husband and father was gone, taken away because of the toils of war, and all they wanted was safety. And they left, and they fled, and they tried desperately to just find a safe haven, but they were turned away. They were turned away after the propaganda ministry back at home set off on a journey to make other nations around the world look fearingly at refugees. And unfortunately, they were turned away. They eventually had to turn around, go all the way back home, and more than half of the people who had made that journey with them died as a result of that harsh regime that they were trying to escape from. And I'm not talking about Syrian refugees. I'm talking about Gisela Feldman, who boarded the SS St. Louis on May 13th, 1939. They were trying to escape Hitler and the Germans. They were trying just to find safety. And they were turned away. And half the people on that boat, half of the 900 people on that boat perished. And we are facing the same fate. And we can't be quiet about it. We cannot stay silent about what is going on in this country today. As the House introduces and votes on a bill to turn away our generation's refugees, as we have mayors in Virginia saying that the Japanese internment camps were a great idea, as we have the leading candidate for president on the Republican Party saying we're going to have to do things that we thought were unthinkable a year ago. These statements are alleged that we may not be able to walk away from. And we need to look to history to remind us how we respond and how history will look at us based on our reactions. Now is not the time to be terrified that one person out of the 4 million Syrians that are fleeing their home country might possibly harm us, while we don't give a darn about the people who harm us right here at home. This is wrong, and I refuse to stay silent. I refuse to not speak up. I refuse to say that this action, this anti-Muslim rhetoric, this anti-human action is going to take place in my country and in my name, and I'm not going to stand by and say nothing. I refuse. If we look at history, in fact, this very month, 77 years ago, November 9th and 10th, 1938, the German government, the Foreign Office and Propaganda Ministry, think if we replace this as ISIS, exploited the unwillingness of other nations to admit Jewish refugees, and they used that fear and that hatred to justify their actions, to justify the ongoing Holocaust. And the world was so scared that we let it happen. We knew what was going on in Germany. We knew about the millions of people fleeing Europe, trying to find safety, but we were too afraid. And just like the 900 people on the SS St. Louis, millions of Europeans just wanted safety. That's all the Syrians are asking for right now. And I don't see how a human being, how sitting in a country that was built by immigrants, that prides ourselves on being the home of the brave, that we are too scared that our own military, the biggest military and defense industry in the entire world, can't screen refugees. I think they're perfectly capable. I think that there are better ways to handle this. And I will not be silent. Not today, not tomorrow, and not, God forbid, during the days of whatever these actions inspire. Whether it's internment camps or hatred, I will not stand by and allow this to be done in my name. I will go on record in front of you, in front of Shane, in front of everybody else listening today, and say that this is not my America. This is not the country that I am proud to be a member of. We are better than this. And we don't want to be looked at as France and Germany and all of these other nations were looked at after World War II, when we realized and we had to own up to what we allowed to happen and say, well, we were scared, so we didn't want to let the Jewish people in. And there's a lot of rhetoric. There's a lot of suggestions. There's a lot of fear going on in the media today. And I think that we can get past a lot of it. It starts with recognizing why we're afraid and how we overcome that fear. And I think that we are completely capable of doing it. So there's my...
There you have it. Well said, I think. We want to know what you all think, too. There are definitely divergent opinions on this. And if you read more through the story of this, this is regarding 1939. This is a quote. Public opinion in the United States, although ostensibly sympathetic to the plight of the refugees and critical of Hitler's policies, continued to favor immigration restrictions. The Great Depression left millions of people in the United States unemployed and fearful of competition for the scarce few jobs available, also fueled anti-Semitism, xenophobia, nativism, and isolationism. It's history repeating itself.
It's exactly what it is. And, you know, you look at the story of this young girl, Gisela. Let me see here. You can find it over at BBC.com. And she tells the story about being on the SS St. Louis. And she says, we didn't know where we were heading or how we would cope when we got there. She was just a girl. As many of the people trying to flee Syria and the Middle East are right now. These are sisters and daughters and sons and children and families, just like the families that make up the United States. And so I have a few ideas about what we can do to overcome our fear, and I want to hear yours. We cannot be silent, and I hope that you will not be silent with me. We'll be back with more. This is the Tom Hartman Program. Stick around. Status. Number three, they have to fulfill the criteria.
Here we go.
And now we have Senator Sanders. We're going to listen to him for a few minutes here.
Just a little bit of crowd there.
Thank you.
Just a little.
Go crazy.
This is Senator Sanders speaking at Georgetown University.
Thank you for being out on this beautiful day. And let me thank Mo and Shweta for that wonderful introduction. I think my message to you all today is a pretty simple one. And that is, our country faces some enormous problems. And these problems are not going to be solved if people turn away from political struggle, if people throw up their hands in despair and say, I don't want to get involved, it's all crap. You're getting a great education here in Georgetown. And I hope very much you learn, use what you have learned here to fight to create a better world and to follow in the traditions of so many people for so many years who have struggled to create a more democratic and just society. Let me take you now back to the 1937. And in his inaugural address, in the midst of the Great Depression, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt looked out at the nation in the midst of this terrible depression. And this is what he saw, and this is what he talked about in his inaugural. He saw tens of millions of people denied the basic necessity of life. He saw millions of families trying to live on incomes so meager that the pall of family disaster hung over them every single day. He saw millions of his fellow Americans denied education, recreation, and the opportunity to better their lot and the lot of their children. He saw millions lacking the means to buy the products they needed, and by their poverty, by their lack of disposable income, denying employment to many other millions. Because when you don't have money to spend, you're not creating jobs for other people. He saw one third of a nation ill-housed, ill-clad, and ill-nourished. And he acted against the ferocious opposition of the ruling class of his day, people he called the economic royalists. Roosevelt implemented a series of programs that put millions of Americans back to work, took them out of dire poverty, and restored their faith in government. He redefined the relationship of the federal government to the people of our nation. He combated cynicism, fear, and despair. He reinvigorated democracy. He transformed our country. And that is exactly what we have to do today. And by the way, almost everything he proposed, almost every program, every idea he introduced was called socialist.
Yes. This is Senator Bernie Sanders speaking at Georgetown University.
I thought I'd mention that just in passing. Social Security, which all of you know, transformed life for senior citizens in this country was defined by his opponents as socialist. The concept of the minimum wage, that workers had to be paid at least a certain amount of money for their labor, was seen as a radical intrusion into the marketplace and was described as socialist. Unemployment insurance. When you lose your job, you have something to fall back upon. Abolishing child labor. Ending the fact that children of 8, 10, 12 years of age were working in factories or working in the fields. The 40-hour work week. Collective bargaining, the rights of workers to engage in negotiations with a union. Strong banking regulations, deposit insurance, and job programs that put millions of people to work were all described in one way or another as socialist. Yet, as you all know, all of these programs and many more have become the fabric of our nation and, in fact, the foundation of our middle class.
Senator,
30 years later, after Roosevelt's speech in the 1960s, President Lyndon Johnson fought for Medicare and Medicaid to provide health care to millions of senior citizens and families with children, persons with disabilities, and some of the most vulnerable people in this country.
Senator Bernie Sanders speaking at Georgetown University.
But here is a very hard truth that we must acknowledge, we must address, we must not sweep under the rug. And that is, despite a huge increase in technology, and I can remember back, I was mayor of the city of Burlington, Vermont. Anybody here from Vermont? Okay. And when I was mayor in the 1980s, a radical development took place. We got computers in City Hall. Okay? 1980s. Despite a huge increase in technology and worker productivity, meaning that almost every worker in America with that technology is producing a lot more than workers that came before. Despite major growth in our GDP and a huge increase in the global economy, tens of millions of American families continue today to lack the basic necessities of life, while millions more struggle every day to provide a minimal standard of living for their families. And I hope none of you will turn your back on that reality. And the truth is, and again, this is a truth we must put on the table. Yes, we are better off today economically than we were 7 years ago when Bush left office. But the other truth is that for the last 40 years under Republican leadership and Democratic leadership, the great middle class of our country has been in decline, and faith in our political system is now extremely low. New technology, increased worker productivity, people work longer hours for lower wages, faith in our political system now extremely low. The very rich get richer. Almost everyone else gets poorer. Super PACs funded by billionaires buy elections. Koch brothers alone and a few of their friends will spend more money in this election cycle than either the Democratic or Republican parties. Ordinary people, working people, young people, don't vote. We have an economic and political crisis in this country, and the same old politics and economics will not effectively address those crises. If we are serious about transforming our country, and I hope all of you are serious about transforming our country, if we are serious about rebuilding the American middle class, if we are serious about reinvigorating American democracy, we need to develop a political movement which once again is prepared to take on and defeat a ruling class whose greed is destroying our nation.
Amen.
I second the amen, everybody. Okay. Oh,
that finished just about on time, didn't it?
Yes, Rama wants to just tell everybody something. Rama, go ahead.
Yeah, I got a tweet from Bernie today that just said, thank you for all your support. We are going all the way to the White House.
Yep. And then, and let's put a caveat on that, because Bernie Sanders knows what he's really doing is the work of setting a ground movement. And he said it enough times, this is not about me.
No.
But what it is about what he's setting in place is going to take what he's setting in place and for us to not be silent, and taking that to the White House. It's still on the menu for Michelle Obama to be the next president of this country. And you can't look at it from where you're looking at it at the moment. So much is about to change. We've got two more minutes. I just want to say that the Dalai Lama, there was something here that I thought was worth reading. And it says, in the Western world, the Dalai Lama is best known for promoting consciousness, self-evolution, and inner peace. Though he is an outspoken activist for freedom in his native country, Tibet, he rarely speaks on global political affairs. In the wake of the Paris terrorist attacks, however, the Buddhist leader shared an astute and vital perspective on the state of the world, one reached through spiritual beliefs rooted in peace and humanity. Asked about Friday's terrorist attacks during an interview with German broadcaster Deutsche Welle, the Dalai Lama downplayed the power of pleading with deities. Quote, we cannot solve this problem only through prayer, he said, possibly referencing worldwide calls for pray for Paris. Quote, I am a Buddhist and I believe in praying, yet humans have created this problem and now we are asking God to solve it. It is illogical. God would say, solve it yourself because you have created it in the first place. Noting that people want to live peaceful lives, he dismissed Friday's terrorist attacks as short-sighted, suggesting this mentality contributes to many suicide bombings. Though the Dalai Lama did not further analyze the causes of last week's attacks, he acknowledged the problem of chronic aggression around the world. Quote, the 20th century was a violent one, and more than 200... Whoops. Oops. And more than 200 million people died due to wars and other conflicts. We now see a spillover of the previous century's bloodshed in this country. He said one estimate suggests his figures are low and that the governments killed over 250 million of their own people alone last century. When the interviewer suggested his sentiments of peace, love, and compassion have fallen on deaf ears around the world, the Dalai Lama declined to entertain a pessimistic view. Quote, I disagree. I think that only a small percentage of people subscribe to the violent discourse. We are human beings, and there is no basis or justification for killing others. As you consider others as brothers and sisters and respect their rights, then there is no room for violence. I pass the talking stick. I think we have our guest with us. We'll do the rest of this later. Thank you.
All right. Well, we thank you very much for your contributions this last half hour. Omina, I see that you are with us here. Welcome, and please tell us what you would like to share with us tonight.
Well, hello, everybody. It's nice to be back. It's nice to be talking to all of you. I was really thinking about what to talk about tonight, and one of the things that came, and it's a for any of the listeners that are out there that wish to call in is to talk about the upcoming holidays. Holidays are a very difficult time for an awful lot of people, and maybe be able to shed some light on how they can cope better with it. So, because a lot of people have lost past ones that they would like to remember and honor. A lot of people are alone on the holidays and they don't know how to not do that or how to connect with other people. Of course, anyone that has any ideas most certainly can chime in, because I'm open to any suggestions as well. It's just I do know that with a lot of the people I work with, holidays is a very difficult time. And, of course, with everything going on in the world and trying to achieve some kind of sense of security, that's also another issue that altogether can be very overwhelming for people, that feeds into their anxiety or their sense of not being secure enough in the world. So how
well,
is
then let me go ahead and, if you want to do that, let me go ahead and give the 800 number that people can call in. This is for the USA and Canada. It's toll free, 888-429-5471. 888-429-5471. A second number could be 530-413-9537. And you won't miss anything if you're put on hold, if someone else is speaking. You'll still be able to hear, and then we'll bring you in when it's your turn. So I pass it back to you, Omina.
Okay. One of the things I'll talk a little bit about, because seeing that so much killing is going on in the name of God around the world, that which of course is definitely not the belief system that we don't subscribe to, because a lot of wars have happened in the name of God. But in my travels in the last couple of weeks, and I was in two places in Turkey, but definitely in Istanbul. And one of the things that I've stood out the most was the Blue Mosque and Sophia's Mosque as well, that one time used to be Christian, and then the Muslims took over. And these are very ancient and very beautiful. And then from there, I was in Venice and was at St. Mark's Basilica. In as I walked around and looking at everything, and over the couple of weeks, I kept saying, you know, what was the purpose of the whole thing? What was the purpose of the big monuments? And the beautiful, beautiful artwork was unbelievable, both in Venice as well as in Turkey. And one of the things I think I got a very clear picture, I guess you could say, or thought or feeling, that all this beautiful artwork was all done from the spiritual part of the people that created it in honor of their God. And it came from a deep place, and it took many, many years to complete, because the artwork is unbelievable. I don't know if anybody on the board has ever seen any of it. And if you never have, it's definitely worth the trip, so to speak. And I thought, just with the holidays coming up, that if people just keep in their minds that what the beauty that was created out of, for the love of God, you might say, or Allah, or whatever their gods that they pray to, that it just gave out such beautiful messages and beautiful artwork, because it couldn't come from anywhere else except from their spiritual selves. I just thought I would add that in there.
Well, we're glad that you had the opportunity made available to you to travel to see all of this. That's quite an interesting time, and also to be able to get to experience that was quite a wonderful thing for you.
It was. It definitely was a wonderful thing, and it struck me so much that in the world that we live in, and all of this beauty is still there, that the majority of people are still coming from the heart. And there's a lot of compassion and there's a lot of empathy. And it was just really, really striking. It was really heartfelt for me to see it, because I think it still gives an awful lot of hope in whatever direction we're going in, that the majority are still working towards a higher good. And, of course, you know, all our sympathies go out to anyone that has suffered at any time due to religious persecution, so to speak, or somebody else's different idea of what religion is all about, or what they're doing in the name of God, or lack of in the name of God, so to speak. So it was really, really, it was really, really insightful for me to see that. And it sort of renewed my whole vision about that we are all basically very good human beings. And we just have to keep telling each other that and sending out a lot of healing to all the people that are struggling with that. So, anything else?
I don't see any callers here yet, but if you do wish to call in and ask any questions or make any comments, 888-429-5471.
Yes, all are welcome. We'll speak to whatever people need to speak about.
Well, help us understand maybe what... what is the mindset that is behind all of this? You know, there's so much apathy, even with all of the destruction. Have people just shut down? Why are the emotions, you know, it's almost like I can remember saying to my grandson the Friday before we had 9/11, I said, you know, people just have to start having compassion for one another. And I said, the only time that we get to see that is when there's a, you know, a natural disaster, yeah, such as a storm that devastates everything, or we have a tornado or those things. And I said, we just need to start having compassion for each other. And then 9/11 happened like 3 or 4 days later. And I've thought about that since, because, you know, I wasn't even thinking about anything. I just was talking to him and saying, you know, this is what it seems like we really need to do. And have we just become hardened, and we've seen so much violence and so much stuff that we shut down?
No, I think it has to do with separatism. I think it's that we don't see ourselves as a collective. We see ourselves as individual. Mm-hmm. And I think it has to do with more of an ego demand that, and also denial, that's not going to happen to me. It's going to happen to you, but it's not going to happen to me. And, of course, what people forget in their consciousness is that what happens to you affects me. If it can happen to you, it can also affect me. If it happens to you, it can also happen to me. So we become, what we do is we become very desensitized to the violence to other people. An awful lot of that has to do with the media, has to do with the different shows, it has to do with all the exposure. We're exposed to so much. I think that an awful lot of people just shut down and just go along in their own little world and not thinking globally, even though in their minds they still can think globally, and they can send out peace just as the thought, because it still goes out to the collective universe. But I think is that most of us are in denial, or we're asleep. And because it's in another country, it's not going to happen here. But 9/11 proved that it can happen here. And we have so much violence going on in our own country that people are doing it to each other, that's a small part of it too, because violence is violence, just like love is love. It all connects. And it just creates that kind of apathy to where nobody is paying any attention or have no empathy. And I think an awful lot of the attention now is to get our consciousness to become more aware of, if it can, you know, if they have if ISIS has an arm that can reach out an awful lot. Well, of course it can happen here, just like it can happen, like it did in Paris or anywhere else that can happen. So I think it's really about awareness, to pay attention to where are we in all of this, And I send out healing to everybody that I can, even to ISIS and everybody. That's maybe that's the part that we have to look at. If we say the usual saying is God bless America, well, God bless the world as well as America, because we're not an island all by ourselves, but we have a tendency to look that we are separate from everybody else. So if the country thinks it's separate from everybody else, every individual in the country is going to think the same thing and become contagious that, oh, that's happening in Africa, or it's happening in the East, or it's happening in the West, or wherever it's happening, it's not happening in my backyard, when actually it is, because you get assaulted by watching TV with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, that has to affect, that affects me. I would imagine it has to affect other people. Either that, you totally shut down, you say, well, that's over there, so I'm safe here. The truth is, none of us are safe if we all think that it's okay for it to happen over there and it'll never happen here, because that's not the road to peace to begin with. It's really sending out the empathy and the gratitude that it's not happening to us right now, and hopefully that it never will. Mm-hmm. So you put all that together, and we're coming up against in the Western part of the world anyway, we're coming up against all the celebrations that we do. Thanksgiving is a big one because it's all about family. Whether the families are happy or not, it's Thanksgiving is still about family. You hear all the time, it's the most traveled time of the year, and you hear all kinds of stories about, I hate going home, but I have to because it's Thanksgiving. And peace sort of starts at home, you know? It's kind of like, so go to the family that you might have to do healing work with, or go to the family that you love and spread that out a little more.
And I see that we have Debbie on line one. Can you hear me, Debbie?
I hear you well.
Okay. Oh, hi, Debbie.
Can you hear me?
Yes, right. I can hear you.
Go ahead.
I thought it was interesting before that Almina spoke about people who don't have anyone for the holidays, and I'm one of those people who, you know, just dreads the holidays, and I can't wait for them to be over because my husband passed away in 2009, and I don't have any relatives or any friends, so I just count the days until the holidays are over.
And that's a sad place to be in, isn't it, Debbie?
It is. You know, I don't like it, but I'm kind of out in the middle of nowhere, so, you know, I don't have any people around me. All I have is my pets.
Are you living anywhere in a community, so to speak? I mean, do you have transportation to a community?
Yeah, I can. I have to drive, but
well,
I don't have any.
Yeah, one of the things I would suggest when a person is totally alone, as you are, and of course, and I'm sorry to hear about your husband passing, because that's reliving another sadness as well as being alone.
Yeah.
One of the things that you might want to look into, or I would suggest you look into, is wherever you live or whatever community there is, if there's anywhere where they have a shelter, where they feed the homeless or feed poor people, that you volunteer for the day or for a couple of hours even. Even if you're not a person, you know, you may be a shy person that might have a difficult time doing that. But if you can force yourself a little bit to do that, you'd be amazed at how fulfilling it is for you. I don't know if that's something you'd be open to.
I would, even though I'm a shy person.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I think I would enjoy it if I tried it. I would get a good feeling from it.
Oh, you most certainly would, and you have no idea how much you would be giving to people, because a lot of people look for volunteers at that time, because you get to meet people. So I would suggest you do a little research and make some phone calls and volunteer your time. Or even if it was at a nursing home that you went in and volunteered to spend an hour with somebody.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, because that would get you out of the house, and it would get you in with other people, and it might start a whole thing of you volunteer in different places. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know if you're retired or not, or if you work, or, you know. of
no,
your total
I'm retired.
You're retired?
Yeah.
Okay, well, people in my experience that are retired have an awful lot of knowledge and life experience that they can help other people with. So you'd have an awful lot to offer and to give. That people would be thrilled to have you, because there's other lonely people out there too.
Yeah, it sounds like a great idea.
Well, I hope you follow through with it and let us know if you do.
Yes, I will, definitely.
Yeah, that would really be good. I mean, that would be really good.
Well, and you think about Debbie, you do have transportation and you can get out and go and do something. And like she was saying, if you did go to a nursing home or someplace where those people, I'm sure there are people there that don't have anyone either.
Exactly.
And they don't have the opportunity to go meet with anyone else. So that that could be very fulfilling for you, as well as, you know, there are a lot of places I know in our area where they serve meals, and they're always looking for people to serve, as well as to take it to some homes. And there's also a thing called Meals on Wheels, where each week they distribute meals to people that cannot get out and go. So those volunteering kind of things could be very fulfilling for you too, as Omina said.
Oh, absolutely. And I really hope you do follow up with it, Debbie, and you look at lots of different things and see what appeals to you.
Right, yeah. Because I'm tired of just, you know, wishing the holidays away, you know.
Well, it's like wishing your life away.
Right, yeah.
You know? And that can almost create depression. And you really don't want to go there.
That's the other problem that I have, is that, you know, I do suffer from depression.
Yes. So,
well, this will help with that, too.
Yes, sometimes you have to pull your socks up and your boots on and just march out there. Bring all the angels with you, and they'll help you.
Yeah. Okay, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Bye-bye.
I see we have Amy on line two.
Hello.
Hi,
Amy.
I've called in here before. Just wanted to say hi, and I just had a quick question. I don't know if you can answer this or not, but we recently took in two cats, one named Shorty and one named Lucky. Shorty's 3 years old, and we've been seeing orbs around the house, mostly my husband. And when the orbs disappear, our cat runs over and sniffs around and looks as if he knows something was there. Do you know who might be visiting us?
You mean the orbs are around the cats?
Just in our house, mostly in the living room.
Okay, what's the cat's name again?
The one cat's name is Shorty, a male, and the other cat is Lucky. He's a male also. But they see things in the house, especially Lucky. He always just sits in the bathroom and just stares at this one spot in the bathroom as if he's seeing something.
Well, cats are very sensitive, but, you know, it's Shorty that's actually bringing in the energy into the house.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, okay. He's a very smart cat, and he's a very old cat.
Okay.
Old in terms of old. Sorry.
Oh, he was sick when we had got him. We had no idea that he was sick, and since he's gotten healthy, he's like a whole new cat. He's still alert, still alive.
He's a very grateful cat.
And okay.
It's you and your husband in the house.
Yes.
Okay.
We have four kids.
What's your husband's name?
David.
David?
Yes.
Okay. David's mother has passed?
Yes.
David's mother visits an awful lot.
Okay. We were just having a conversation outside last night about not going to his family's this year. Because of a conversation he had with his brother, he does not feel comfortable going this year, and I didn't feel comfortable either, so we were on the same page, and we had just got done talking about that, and right as we came in the house, 10 minutes later, he saw the orb, and I had thought maybe it was his mother telling us it was okay that we didn't go this year,
but I
don't know.
What's your name?
Marie? Her name's Marie.
Oh, Bernice.
Marie Smith.
Oh, Marie is her name. Okay. And what's the brother's name?
His brother's name is Ronald.
Well, Marie is saying that Ronald is very stubborn. If anybody's going to make any move, it would have to be David. But she's also saying that it's okay with whatever decision David makes. She was there to be sure that it was okay. Because David is feeling guilty about saying he doesn't want to go.
Right, he is. He doesn't know how to approach it. Because as we're on this journey, he tries to talk to his family about stuff, especially since he's rereading Dolores Cannon. He's like on her fourth book. And he has so many questions and so many things he wants to share with his family, and they don't want to hear it. They look at him like he's a big weirdo, and he feels so sad about that.
Well, the truth is that if they don't want to hear it, they don't want to hear it. They're in a different place than he is. So
that's what I said.
Yes.
Yeah. So he doesn't feel comfortable going, that they might just look at him and snicker, and what does he talk about now, and...
Oh, I don't think that they're going to do that. As long as he doesn't push on them what he believes in. It's about respecting each other's beliefs. If he goes just as a family member, he's really his fear of rejection is stopping him from going.
Okay.
Maybe explain that to him, and that'll put a different spin on it in his mind.
Yeah, because I felt we can still go, but we don't have to talk about that. We can let it go for that day.
If you just go to be with family and just decide you're going to go and enjoy it, then you can do that. But you want to definitely address the issue of fear of not going and fear of going, so to speak.
Okay.
He's feeling guilty about saying no, because it's kind of like if he has a fear of rejection, he's going to reject them first so that he doesn't have to feel rejected.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
Okay.
So that might be a conversation that you'll have with each other. But, yes, his mother's around a lot telling him that he's okay the way he is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any reason she's around a lot?
Yes, she is. The cat stares at her all the time. The one in the bathroom stares at her all the time.
Oh, okay. All right. So the cats are bringing in good energies then? That's awesome.
Oh, absolutely. The cats are bringing in wonderful energy, especially your mother that you rescued that was sick. He brings in a lot of energy. You can learn from the cats. Your older one, the one that was sick, brings in Shorty, I think you said his name was. He brings an awful lot of gratitude into your household, and maybe that's where you both have to focus on some gratitude about where you are in your lives and what you do have. And being grateful you have family, even if you're not talking to them or are talking to them, you still can have gratitude that they're there.
Right.
Yeah.
So when I carry Shorty around, because he's so afraid of everything, he's afraid of plastic bag noises, every little noise he's so afraid. So I try to carry him around the house, have everyone pet him, get him used to the environment. Is that helping?
Absolutely, because your cat has post-traumatic stress.
Okay. That makes sense.
So he reacts to different things in the house that makes him freeze a little bit.
Okay, I was always afraid because I always wondered what was going through his mind, that someone just dropped him off at a shelter and left him. How would he feel? I mean, that would make me feel awful.
Oh, I know, but he found a loving home now. So
I'm glad. You know,
that's a really good thing. So we can learn from animals to be grateful.
Right. Yeah, meant to be. Because Lucky was meant to be the way that I got him. It all happened, divine intervention, I feel. We were supposed to go looking for another brother or sister for Shorty, and the adoption center was closed, and it's never closed. And then my friend called that day and said they had a kitten that someone dropped off at an alley, so we picked it up, and it was the exact print that I was looking for. It just was meant to be. And I didn't want to pay for a cat because I thought it's so wrong that you have to pay for an animal. Buying an animal seems so wrong. So I ended up getting it for free. So it all just seemed to work out.
Well, it's a wonderful way. It's a wonderful thing to rescue animals to have been neglected.
Yeah.
So the animals are grateful for that.
Yes.
And they bring a lot of joy to people.
I don't want to tie up the phone lines, but thank you so much.
You're very welcome, and have a good time.
You too. Thank you. Love you.
Love you too.
Okay. Do we have, I'll give the phone number 888-429-5471 if you wish to call in and ask a question of Omina here. Or if there's anyone on the team, we don't have a caller at the moment. Is there anyone on the team that would like to ask a question?
I'll just ask you, Omina. This is Kathy in the background.
Hi, Kathy.
As we move into the end of the year with the Christmas holidays, what is the prevalent thing that you're noticing? What is it that you would share with our audience about what to be on guard for or just to be more sensitive to? Is there anything that comes to mind?
I would think that for people coming up towards the holidays, whatever ones they celebrate, or even if they don't celebrate them, is to get more self-centered and take a look at all the good things that they have in their lives and to be grateful that they have them. Even though they may not be able, they might be blinded to a lot of things because whatever they're feeling, is to listen to their feelings and acknowledge them, because that moves the feelings into a higher realm, so to speak. Is to acknowledge if they're depressed or if they're sad or if they're lonely, to acknowledge that, and then either read a book or go out and talk to somebody or connect with somebody. I think that's because we're social beings to begin with. We're not meant to be alone. And to people have to force themselves to do that sometimes. But fear mobilizes people. They're afraid of the huge big thing. They're afraid of rejection. And the first thing is to start smiling a little more, because that definitely changes the energy. And even smiling at strangers changes the energy. It just begins to come back to you. You find more people smiling back, and it begins to connect people. So holidays is very challenging for people. And if you're a person that doesn't like to go where there's an awful lot of crowds, I avoid malls in the holidays because I just do. It drains my energy, so to speak. So you have to look and see the things that might drain your energy and avoid those kind of things. So it's really about gratitude. Without gratitude, there's no joy in one's life. And people to be look around and just be grateful for what they do have increases their ability to be more joyful in their lives. And if you have problems with other people, if you can't talk to them, you most certainly can talk to them from your heart and wish that it was different, and that energy still goes out and connects. So there's lots of ways they can do it, because everything begins with a thought.
Yeah.
You know, yes. So even if it's self-love or sending out love to people that they haven't talked to in a long time, just to think those thoughts help. It raises their vibrations as well. It goes out there and it raises other people's vibrations. It really does start with us.
Well, I'm really liking that. And I'm feeling like all of us, you know, we can just say a prayer for those people. You know, you can look around our families and feel grateful for them, and then put out a prayer for those who have no family or who feel lonely or who aren't well and they're alone all the time. So it's a good thing to energetically support. So I'm
absolutely making all that. And just bless everybody and look at them in the way that to be able to separate whatever they're doing that you're doing differently. It's definitely a good idea just to think that, well, they're on their journey, and just bless their journey. I see we have a Diane online.
Okay.
No.
Well, okay. It popped up in my...
Oh, that might be a friend of yours on the bottom right corner when somebody you know comes online. So your friend Diane must be online.
Well, they're not connected with it, I guess.
I don't see anything here either, so it must be. And the callers we had
line.
Still show up here, and so yeah. I don't know if I wouldn't think that they would still be on the phone line listening. That they are blocking the line, but so we'll continue with anybody else on the team that has a question.
Well, hello, Sister Omina. This is Tara.
Hi, Tara.
I was thinking, you know, I have a friend a friend that I know for quite a few years because we do what we do as a family, you know, getting together on the radio show and conference lines. And she says around the Christmas time, she knows how to sew quite well. So she gets together with other folks that like to sew. And they connect with other, you know, places where there are refugees. That just might be a great idea right now. And they need clothes. Yes. Or they need, I mean, let's just, you know, put the bigger story together with our little talents. And you can also do something really simple like, you can go in a space where there's, you know, like a church or a center where there's something that, these people who are in need of things and they're in a shelter or something. And you can go in there, like, for instance, I learned how to make paper, you know, from scratch. And you can get together a few materials and you can have all these people make a Christmas card and write it and make it out of homemade paper and give it to somebody else. There are so many things that we can do. And isn't that a great idea?
I think that's a great idea because that's like occupational therapy as well, in a sense. And it involves people. People always feel good when they're giving. When they're doing something for the less fortunate. It's a wonderful way to connect, and it's a wonderful way to celebrate life and the holidays, and it just gives the message that you're not alone. You're not alone in the world. And there's an awful lot of talent out there. If people even just organized where they donated some clothes and it was all packed up and you're going to send it wherever you need to send it to, anything like that is always a good idea because it's sharing. It's all sharing. And that's what we need to do.
And another thing I learned in sixth grade, I actually learned how to do this in sixth grade. But, you know, you could go into a school, maybe in a poor neighborhood or something, and you could talk to the teacher or something. And you could come in to say, going into a sixth grade classroom, and you know the poorer neighborhoods, they are just not having what they need. But you can go in there, and I learned how in school to make a loom out of wood and nails and a tack at the end. And then you can get together a little yarn, and you can have these kids make their own looms and make a scarf for somebody else that they love or for themselves.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm just, you know, and when we are feeling alone, there are so many people that are feeling that right now. It's incredulous. And also the political ends of things are scary. They're scary because most people do not have the proper information, yet their inner hearts recognize that something that they're getting told is not exactly what's going on. You know, that I don't care what level they're in. So doing something like this, doing these therapeutic things like this. Also, I know like in California and a few other places, they have started classes, you know, higher education, high school, whatever, for people in jails. You can get your PhD now, and they're open to all kinds of things that people might want to share with those people. So I'm just saying, and I mean, this is, you know, the Christian idea. It's not just a Christian idea. The first principle of Muhammad, you know, in the Quran is that as you harm one person, it's like you're harming the whole world.
Well, that's going back to what I said. What affects the people in one part of the world also affects us on an emotional level.
Exactly. So again, we have all over this country now, we have a reactivation of how to help people, because there's like 50 something, between 50 and 60 million, you know, people that are hungry in this country. In other words, they're in a place where they do not have enough to eat.
Right.
And this high school kids, I was watching this on some program here. I watch a lot of stuff to just share with other people. But this high school, these high school students, what they did is they went to their school, you know, I don't know, their school, somebody that's in charge of giving permission to do things. And they said that they wanted to you know, create a garden, and they wanted to get different kids in different classes to learn how to do it with them. And then what they wanted to do is they wanted to do it collectively in their school, where, you know, maybe a day after school or something, or, you know, an indoor garden, you know, where they can plant herbs and different things.
Yeah.
And what they ultimately did is they really started a garden where there was a really close to the school where they could, you know, take time even and go there on their recreation time, and they could, you know, pull a few weeds or, you know, learn how to plant something and plant it and stuff. And they finally, they decided that they could start going, and they did this. They actually did this. It was in a high school now, so there's more adeptship there. And they made food from scratch in their cafeteria instead of the funny food that they were feeding those kids. And they taught classes on organic food and what the value of this. These high school kids, they got it still going to this day. It's about 3 years old in their high school. And now they're going around, as they're out of high school, they're going around and they're starting these programs in different high schools in their neighborhood. And now they're starting an online thing so they can teach other people how they successfully did it. And they're starting to pack and forth share that. And so there's schools in the other sides of the world that are doing these things. This can, I mean, we are so creative. And the idea of what these other characters that are very crabby are doing is to try to depress us, to try to suppress our creativity, and to try to make you believe that it's so scary out there that you're just going to curl up in a cave and just not go anywhere.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the fear is very, very strong. And the only way we can get over the fear is to talk to other people about the fear. Loneliness, or about the lack of connection, or the things to do. And you can only do that. One of the greatest ways, of course, is volunteering. And the world would not operate without volunteers. A lot of people do volunteer, but there's also a lot of people out there that we would definitely suggest that they become involved. There's so many needy and lonely people in the world. They just need a connection.
Yes, and
they just need to be reached out and connect with them. And like
I've met with our local high school here, and the group, there's Future Farmers of America, which has girls and boys both in it, and are working on a project here to have a garden, and they have also a very active teacher who is very interested in the handicap program there. And so they're doing the raised beds so that the kids that are in the wheelchairs and cannot, that's the only way they can get around, they're making these beds so that they are raised high enough that the kids in the wheelchairs will still be able to work with it and teach how to grow and to preserve their food. So this is in a local high school right where I met with them.
That's wonderful.
Marita.
Yes?
Marita. You know, that's pretty amazing, because when I was living in Canada, I actually lived for a while at a center in the mountains in western British Columbia. It was called, the little place was called Spill a Machine. It's a little town. And They had they literally had a place, like a little community for disabled people, all different ages. And Mojave was my friend's name, and she had four children. And the whole family, with the disabled children and the adults, they had their own homeschooling, and they had just what you said. They had raised beds. They learned how to do it, and they did it together, whoever was a little bit more able and stuff. And they all could then plant their seeds and grow their, and tend them and weed and everything with their wheelchairs. I actually had that experience. I just wanted to share what you brought up, that it was in my life too. So it's so healing. It's so, you know, this kind of work, you know, you get to the place where you find where, you know, you can live without the madness of the thing that's leaving us, which is this system which has kind of degenerated. And so the regeneration energies for especially around holidays. And so that I just passed that on.
Absolutely. They're all great ideas, and an idea begins with a thought, and then the action comes after that. And just to connect with people and send out energy.
Christmas caroling. Go around the neighborhood and join some group and go singing.
Even if you don't join the group, go out and listen to them.
That's right.
You know?
Yes, a lot of places have a little things like that. We have this thing at Christmas.
Neighborhoods have them.
Yes.
You know, I couldn't go out and sing with them, but I most certainly wouldn't mind standing and listening to them because it still connects you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The next thing you know, there's this place called Canyon Road here in Santa Fe, and it's up a little hill, and everybody gets together, and some people, they start a little, they have these little outdoor fireplaces, and somebody makes a little hot chocolate or something, and people get together, and people are going down the road, and they're singing, and there's little stores that are open, and they're just for people to go in, like galleries, and all kinds of people from other parts of the world are there. I remember this one gallery had this Russian young lady, and she was making these little handcrafted. You know, they have this thing where they have an egg inside an egg egg.
Yeah.
She hand-painted historical stories that the Russian children learned, like storybook stories, on these eggs. It was, like, so amazing. And then she had herself together where you could get in touch with her through an email, and she had ways of teaching other people how to do it, and what the stories were about, and books that were being written. This is becoming a global society where we're going beyond borders in such a way. And so that's another thing that's happening here in Santa Fe.
That's wonderful, because we are a global society. We can't get away from it anymore. We're exposed to everything through technology. That connects us, and that scares us, too.
It does.
But we're definitely all connected. And it does. Change begins with ourselves. With ourselves first, and what we're going to do. If we get up every day with a thought that we do one good thing for the day, we're connecting with another being, I think that's a wonderful way to start, because if we put that thought out there, that being will be put in front of us.
Right away.
Right away.
I think we need to say that again, because to make sure that it's like, you know, that's such a simple thing to have that thought.
Yes. So if we wake up in the morning with a thought that today we're going to connect with another human being that needs the connection, then that person will come into our space, and we have to be aware of it. And it doesn't mean we have to do anything or say a whole lot. We just have to acknowledge that other human being. That could be with a hello. It could be with a smile. It could be, how are you? And it's amazing how that energy just helps the other person and even ourselves, because if we acknowledge ourselves, we're able to acknowledge other people. So it's a great way to get up with that intention, because it'll happen. If the intention is there, it will happen. and it's just to be aware to send out that goodwill. So I would suggest that we all try that. Probably a lot of people already do it, but there's nothing wrong with a tune-up or a refresher course.
Right. Well, I think sometimes we just need to be reminded, and again, if you still, we have a few moments left, if you want to call in and ask a question of Omina, 888-429-5471.
Or and it comes on anything.
Yeah, you can ask anything.
Yeah.
All right. 530-413-9537. So if you have a question about anything, let's hear from you. I know we usually have people stacked up, and I maybe because of the thinking it was a limited thing they could ask about tonight that has made a difference here. But
right. Well, anytime I'm on the show, whatever the subject matter is, anyone can call in without any question, and mm-hmm. we ask, we can. So there's no limit to what people can ask. So, you know, we're definitely willing to share whatever information we have. When I say we, I mean me and my whole spiritual team.
Right, right.
On the earth and not on the earth. So, you know, it's definitely a way of reaching out to people. This is a wonderful way of reaching out to people. And like I said before, I get an awful lot of responses because I get a lot of requests for individual consultations over the phone. And that's all because of the radio show. So you do have a wide audience. When I was in Croatia a couple of weeks ago, we're outside having coffee. And this young man decided out of the clear blue sky to talk to me. And he just kind of looked at me and he says, he didn't even know what I do. And he just said that, he said, so what can you tell me that I can do something to improve myself or something like that? So I asked him his first name and he told me, and I said, well, you need to spread your wings and get over your fear of rejection. And that started a whole conversation. Well, come to find out, he was from Malaysia and he is a disc jockey on a radio in Malaysia. So I said to him, well, you need to, I gave him the information about the BBS radio. You need to check in there and listen to the show there because I do it once a month. I said, and you're more certain? He said, well, maybe I can have you as a guest on my show. I said, absolutely. So then, of course, I gave him my card. And then later on, he was leaving and I said, I have to tell you something. And I said, I asked him if he believed in archangels because he had a big archangel with him. And he says, oh, yes, he says, we believe in the same thing. He was Muslim. Well, I didn't know that. Maybe I was supposed to know that, but I didn't know that. And I thought, of course, I wasn't even thinking religion or belief systems, but I just thought that it was interesting. He says, we're really not that different. I said, no, we're not. And it was a wonderful connection. He was a young man with two other men. And I just thought it was a wonderful connection. And I thought it's wonderful just to be open to the world because you never know who you'll meet or who will approach you or who you can approach.
Exactly. And Amy's, you know, back with another question here. She was on earlier here. Amy, what's your question?
She wanted to pick her brain about my daughter, Leslie. She's in seventh grade, and we tried online schooling, and she didn't like it. I couldn't get her to log on. So she wanted to go back to regular school. So we took her off of online school, and she's been at regular school for 2 weeks, but we can't get her to go. She won't get out of bed. She cries. My husband had a hard time this morning. She sat in the car with her in the parking lot, and she cried for 10 minutes before going into school. She said she hates school so much. It depresses her so much. She can't stand it. She says, I don't understand. Every time I talk to her, she says, I'm just making fun of her. And I'm kind of at a loss. I didn't know if you had any insight.
How old is Leslie? How old is Leslie?
She's 13.
Have you taken her to anywhere where she could be evaluated?
Yeah, she had talked to someone for a little while there, but then the counselor got pregnant and was supposed to refer her to someone else, and then that never happened, and then we lost her insurance. But we've been talking with the school counselor, and the school counselor is supposed to check on her a few days a week, but how can she check on her if Leslie doesn't go?
Okay, this is what I'm going to suggest. I don't know, where do you live?
In Centerline, Michigan.
Okay. Would you look up and see if they have a Easter Seals?
Okay.
If they have an Easter Seals there, get her a primary physician or the counselor in the school. No, you need a doctor's note to have her tested at Easter Seals. They do.
Okay, there's one that actually just opened down the road from us.
So you get a prescription to have her tested, because I think Leslie has a learning disability. And she has a very difficult time with learning the way they're teaching in terms of how she receives information. Okay?
That's right.
And if they test her, they'll be able to pinpoint exactly where she'll need the help, and they'll be able to provide a program that should be able to help her with the difficult task of trying to be in school. She doesn't have attention deficit, does she?
No, I don't think so. I mean, she can be on the computer for hours on end, and lately she doesn't want to go to bed. She'll go to bed at 4 o'clock in the morning, even though she has school.
No, there's definitely something else going on. There's definitely something else going on. So if you can get her into Easter Seals to have her tested, it might definitely put an awful lot of clarity on why she's doing what she's doing and why she is the way she is.
Yeah, and then I remember in second grade, she failed second grade because she would hide under the desk and she wouldn't do her work, and she'd cry and yell at the teacher.
Some of this is karmic for her.
Okay.
So I would definitely suggest that you get, if there's an Easter Seal, that you get the prescription from her doctor, or you, whoever the family doctor is, to have her tested, because it'll shed an awful lot of light on what's going on with her. Because those kind of tests are different than a psychiatrist evaluating her. You know what I mean? They're very extensive, and they will definitely pinpoint different things that will help her.
Okay, that would be wonderful. And Easter Seals, you don't need insurance?
Well, you must have, if you're in Michigan, you must have state insurance that you can apply for.
I know. It's like they approve us, and then a month later they say we're denied, and then we're approved, and then we're denied. We don't understand that. And we've been trying to find out what's going on, and our case has been stuck in limbo. It says it's pending, and we can't get any answers. And it says always go online, and we go online, and we can't get in. So
is there an office near you?
Yes, her doctor's office is right down the street.
No, the state office where you can get medical coverage.
Oh, yeah, it's right like a mile away from us.
Well, can you go down there and
Yeah, we reapplied again, and then they said you need to check online. We check online. It says it's pending. So we keep getting the runaround, and then they keep giving us different caseworkers. Every other month we have a different caseworker.
I would go down and tell them I can't get online because I don't have a computer.
Right, yeah.
That's what I would do. I mean, you need to get up there and advocate for yourself and say, look it, we're in such bad straits here, we can't even afford a computer, so I can't get online.
Right.
Whatever, you know, do whatever you have to do to get their attention. Talk, ask them, can you talk to a supervisor?
Right. Okay.
If they're giving you the runaround, you need to step in and just stop it, because why suffer?
Right. Well, thank you, because I'm going to get on this right away. It makes so much sense, because the sooner we can get resolved, it'll be great for her.
Absolutely. Right. At least it'll give you all information to where you don't have to worry so much, and just keep at it until you get the answers.
Right. I think it'll finally bring some kind of peace, because then she'll finally realize, you know, she can get help. Because she says no one is helping her. No one's helping her. We don't understand.
And that in her psychic, that's very true, because nobody understands her. That's right. Where she's coming from.
Right. That makes total sense. Mm. I never thought of it like that.
Yeah. Well,
well, and just... it's fascinating that the office is open just down the street from you. So isn't that interesting right. that that has just happened? And that's exactly what Omina is suggesting here. So, well, thank right. you for calling back yeah. in, Amy.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Just get out there and get your fighting spirit up.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Omina, I just thought of something else. One of our the people that are always with us, and actually she transcribes a lot of this of our phone calls for us. She's in Canada, and her name is Penny, and we want to love and support her. We've had we had mentioned last week put her husband in prayer because he had had some challenges. And he has made his transition. So I just thought you might check in with her and maybe if you have something to share with her.
What's her husband's name?
Len.
Len?
Uh-huh. And she's Penny.
Well, Penny is just trying to recover right now. She really is. She's, to me, it seems like she's a little lost. And she's just trying to recover. When did he transition?
Last Thursday night.
Okay. Because I've asked him to come in, but he hasn't come in yet. He's, they're both in recovery.
Well, it may be too early. We may need to do this later.
Yes. Yes. Well, no, he's just resting right now. He's not fully conscious yet that he's made the full transition.
Mm-hmm.
But he's in a safe place.
Okay.
So I think for Penny, we can just send out lots of love to her to help her get through a difficult time, especially around this time of the year, and mm-hmm. to support whatever that she's doing. And I most certainly will keep her in my prayers and send her some healing energy, and we can all do that. So that's about all we can do for her right now, because when somebody is grieving, they have to go through that process, and all we can do is surround them with love and light.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can't do it for them. We can only support them. And so we can all do that for Penny.
And one of the things we haven't done yet at all tonight, and I want to make sure that tell people how to get to your website or how to connect with you if they'd like to have a private session.
My website is Omena, O-M-E-N-A, 777.com. My phone number is 860-871-6076 for phone calls. And if nobody answers, please leave a message and you will be contacted.
And say the phone number one more time.
860-871-6076.
And sometimes you know we don't have our pencils in hand until you start to talk.
I know. I'll repeat it again. 860-871-6076. That's my phone number. And the website is omena777.com. And there are definitely two ways of connecting. Or you'll find all the information on the website, plus the phone number will also be there. And leave a message and somebody will get back to you if we don't get to the phone right away, which oftentimes we don't. But then Richard handles an awful lot of my phone calls, and he returns an awful lot of my phone calls, and he sets up the appointments as well. So most certainly feel free to call, and we definitely will get back to you.
Well, we are grateful to have you come every third Thursday and share with us whatever spirit guides you to do. We will look forward to having you back next month again. And yes. If you have any, it looks like our time is about up here. So if you have any parting words of wisdom, we'll.
Well, I wish you all a happy Thanksgiving. It's a wonderful holiday to be grateful for what we have and to just put out the love that, you know, remember, egos do their own dancing, just come from a higher place, a higher level of consciousness. And enjoy what you have and be grateful for what you have and try and share it with other people. That would be my thoughts. So
sounds, wish you that all sounds good. Like a good plan.
Yes. And I'm grateful to be here. And thank you all.
Well, thank you again, and we'll look forward to seeing you next month. And we might take a musical break here, and then we'll come back, and Tara and Rama will share with us some things during the last hour.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night. Welcome back, everyone, to the last segment of our Stargate Roundtable. We'll have Tara and Rama be in charge of this last hour and share with us what do you have on tap for us tonight?
Okay. I was just saying thank you, Marita, and thank you for bringing us Omina every third week, every third Thursday. It is a delight, and I thought that was very uplifting. There's just a wonderful heart energy that connects. We are all one, aren't we?
Right.
I just wanted to remind everybody that Dr. Stephen Greer is doing a workshop this Saturday, and it is from 2 o'clock. This is Eastern time, from 2 o'clock in the afternoon to 6 o'clock in the evening. And where do they go, Rama, to sign up? This is called Serious Disclosure. Why don't you put it up on the web?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's already Thursday, but it's called UFOs and the Deep National Security State, the most explosive expose on secrecy you will ever see. My tendency in terms of witnessing him and what he shares is he always gives solutions too. And it is also a sign of where we are at, because it is excruciatingly difficult to get real news, and it's getting worse on the media. And they're in a state of panic, you might say.
Right. And, you know, I hate to interrupt this and get off track, but I've had two people send things to me, and I've read also that there has been a huge purchase of UPS uniforms, not by UPS themselves. And so the idea is that during this holiday season, when people are ordering so much stuff, and that you want to be wary and aware that if the person coming to your door in a brown suit is really a UPS person, or whether they are someone up to no good. So I don't want to put fear out, but just have the awareness. Having the awareness, then you can stay out of fear, because you just pay attention. So I had had that information, and I had it earlier this week that there had been such a purchase of these uniforms by not by UPS themselves. So being forewarned is being forearmed.
What kind of uniforms? What's
the brown uniforms that the UPS drivers wear?
And who's purchasing them?
Individuals are a group is purchasing them that is not UPS. And so what they're suggesting is that these people are coming to your door or impersonating and to maybe gain entry or to whatever. The awareness that just to pay attention.
You're right. In other words, people are pretending they're something they're not. That's not so good.
Right. And I'm sorry to interrupt you. I could have done this earlier and I forgot it. So, but I thought it's because of the time of year it is when people do have a lot of packages delivered and are ordering a lot of things online. It's just something to be aware of.
Exactly. And who knows what they're delivering if they don't even work for UPS. Yikes. Okay. So anyway, it's $30 and then they give you a code number. And you don't have to listen to it at 2 to 6 in the afternoon on Saturday. You can listen to it later, or you can listen to it, I think, many times as you want to. Although I don't think you can, I'm not sure what the, but the code is pretty connected to that you make the donation of $30. And so that would be really nice.
So where do they go to find out about this online? What's the website, or how do they know where to go find this?
Yeah, Rama?
Sorry about the end of that.
No, it's not. It's just called Sirius IUS Disclosure. That's all there is, Rum. You didn't have anything else. Oh, what's under there? No.
This is like a flyer.
Yeah, well, you need to go look. You need to go look.
Okay, I'll go.
You got to go do that right away, and then we'll give it when Rama gets it. He doesn't. Anyway, I think you could Google this search engine.
Yeah, you can.
You can Google.
It's very easy to find.
Just put in Sirius, S-I-R-I-U-S, Disclosure by Dr. Stephen Greer. Mm-hmm. And November, let's see, 21st, right.
Workshop in D.C.
That's going to happen at the Congregational United Church of Christ. That's interesting. Live at 10th and G Street, 945 G Street, Northwest. That's all that's on here. So that's just, you got to go from there. And I think you can, like I promised,
the things I found here is there's a movie. Sirius, S-I-R-I-U-S, the movie, Dr. Greer's briefing letter, Government Exposé Workshop 21st. And so that's something that's it's on here, but it doesn't say anything about, it says the film is $4.99 if you want to buy the film.
That's different. That film is good, though, but that's
right.
Different.
And then, but it has this. It says Government Exposé Workshop is November 21st.
Yes, that's
okay.
Connected.
And it says $25 here. How the secret government works. The most explosive expose you'll ever see.
Oh, now it's only $25. He went down $5. Okay.
Well, this may be a student price, but that's the only thing that's given on the website.
It's a student price. It's $25 for students only, and you've got to have your ID.
Okay, now this is tickets at the door. So
yeah, that means if you want to come to the Congregational Church, United Church of Christ, you have to bring your ticket.
Or join the webinar by clicking here. So,
yes, that's exactly the same thing.
Okay, and that is $30, and it gives you a chance to pay with PayPal or any credit card. So,
yeah, and I don't think you can watch it unless. I don't know. It doesn't say that you have to get it before this actual day, but
it's 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. PST.
No. It's only 4 hours in what it says in this article here.
Well, that's 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. is 4 hours.
Oh, I thought you said 7. I'm sorry. Okay, 11. Yes. 11 would be Pacific time. No.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
No, because right. That's right. Pacific time. Right. Same thing. That's good. And so did you say there's a website? How did you find that?
I just put Dr. Stephen Greer in and the Sirius disclosure.
Okay, and you put that in Google or something.
Yeah.
Very good. So that's how you do it, everybody. That works. Okay. Now, there's, I don't want to fill everybody's head with all kinds of things. Let's put it that way, because the stuff that's going on is all, it's all rigged. You know, it's totally rigged. Now, it's not fake. It's not a false flag event.
No, they're killing folks.
They're killing people, though. Benjamin Fulford is lying through his teeth about that. Mm-hmm. And he's saying that it was a false flag, just like Charlie Hebdo was. But Charlie Hebdo was real, too. They killed those people.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's where you can see the discernment you need to have with that character. The other thing that, I mean, somebody must be sitting on his head or something, because he said some outrageous things that he's not usually doing. I mean, he said some outrageous things, but this is like everything's a lie on there. And he's saying that there's no such thing as climate change on there. He's actually telling people that that's all phony baloney too.
Oh my God.
I'm just like, whoa, somebody must really be leaning in hard.
Pulling his chain.
That's right. So, and that's really what we're watching them, meaning that side of the not so nice folks that are taking each other out and threatening and basically using people as cannon fodder to keep people in fear, like you were saying. So I was just going to finish maybe a little bit of what Dalai Lama had to say. There's more here. It says, let's see. Rather than dwell on the small minority of violent instigators, the Dalai Lama focused on solutions. And that's why I'm saying, you know, solutions. And, of course, with an audience, he has a give and take in an audience. And you know, as you're available to go and you wish to be present, then, you know, you bring up some things and ask about solutions. You know, that's in case it's needed, you know, be specific. As we emphasize more on nonviolence, this is a quote from the Dalai Lama, and harmony, we can herald a new beginning. He also cautioned against failing to work toward this ideal. Faith without good work is nothing, you know. Quote, unless we make serious attempts to achieve peace, we will continue to see a replay of the mayhem humanity experienced in the 20th century. Please, thank you, and no thank you. Everybody volunteer to do something good for somebody. The Tibetan native was forced to flee his homeland amid a 1959 uprising against the Chinese government, which invaded the region in 1950. He still lives in exile in India, yet has long been an advocate for peaceful resolution of the conflict, even as Chinese authorities have attempted to replace him with a, quote, communist-approved alternative. Discussing the Tibet-China conflict, he maintained his view that, quote, we are living in the 21st century and all conflicts must be resolved through dialogue, not by force. And he says all conflicts. I just was going to remind you that also Benjamin Fulford said that, you know, his part of the not-so-nice White Dragon Society people that control him said that they killed the Dalai Lama and that's a clone in there. Mm. And that is the biggest lie on heaven and earth. I'm just saying that this is why it's so critical to actually, you know, be able to find that place where you're going to learn the right thing. Come to this radio show here. So, in discussing the Tibet-China conflict, he maintained his view that, quote, we are living in the 21st century and all conflicts must be resolved through dialogue, not by force. Living by his own words, the Dalai Lama expressed that as Tibetans decide they no longer want his leadership,
he will step aside. Quote, in 2011, I officially announced that it was up to the Tibetans as they wanted to keep the institution of the Dalai Lama. As the people think that this institution is no longer relevant, it should be abolished. I am no more involved in political matters. I am only concerned about Tibet's well-being. And that reminds me, because that's what the Founding Fathers said about the Constitution. They said, every generation we should go over it with a fine-tooth comb and decide what's relevant and what's, you know, not. And so that's a very big deal to be aware of that as well. So he's saying the same thing about the institution that he represents. In spite of his distance from politics, he continued to emphasize the importance of peace to the survival of humanity. We need a systematic approach to foster humanistic values of oneness and harmony. As we start doing it now, there is hope that this century will be different from the previous one. It is in everybody's interest. So let us work for peace within our families and society, and not expect help from God, Buddha, or the governments. He also echoed an inclusive, creative centers of light, everybody, where we realize that the new system of Nisara now is about bringing in the love from one another, and that sustains everything. And the new quote-unquote money system is a directive to a cashless society where love is the currency beyond hate. He also echoed an inclusive sentiment the world undoubtedly needs to hear, saying, quote, the problems that we are facing today are the result of superficial differences over religious faiths and nationalities. We are one people.
Correct.
The end. Keep it simple, sweetheart, is the message, I believe. Okay, so I think that as we just keep that, we can stop this, and we're going to do as much as we can. It's already almost 9:25 here. The 46th Health Teaching Workshop, and it was given November 16th, which is just 3 days ago, by Dr. Kesh. And so we're going to play a little bit of this. It's a health teaching workshop from Dr. Kesh's unique perspective. So let's see what our brother's having to say here a little bit.
There, I'll start my live stream. Okay, welcome everyone to the 46th Health Teaching Workshop of the Kesh Foundation Spaceship Institute. And once again, we're here live with Mr. Kesh at the Spaceship Institute, and I think he's ready to go with this afternoon's teaching. Let's see. Go ahead, Mr. Kesh. See if we can hear you there.
Yes. Good afternoon. Good day to you, as usual, whenever you listen to the teachings. We are very much, even though in the health section, if you're in a public part of the teaching, in a way, if you go back to what we started with the Blueprint Week, we still keep an update with it that those who want to or after or are looking for. In the private part of the teaching today, we showed the first units which have been sent and dispatched out to people. This is the first car power unit. And Marco is assembling the first power unit. Can I pinch this for a minute?
It's connected.
You can show it from distance if you want. Yeah? Show it with the, oh, it's okay, don't worry. Don't show it, I'll do it. No, no, it's okay. Let it be there. Marco is setting up the power unit for tests, and once we set up, we will go through the whole process of, this is, you can see it better, easier there. This is a car unit with two power cables for the battery. Can we have an energy unit one, please? He's busy with that one. We still need another one up here. Yeah, please. So, you should be receiving, or you should have received your units by now, or I send the way to you. There was some problem with the customs, which we have to, even today, to clarify some papers that some units was kept or is kept till some paper documents is completed. Some were released yesterday by the customs, and some will be released hopefully today. It's just that the wording in the invoice wasn't to the Italian standard, so Italian customs wanted different wording on the invoice, and it's been completed. Some 50 units were released yesterday by the customs because of the wording. And in a way, as you see, this is a Magrav car power unit, and there is a Magrav power unit. They come in a standard box. We opened two in the private teaching this morning. But the two power units will go on the table teaching here today. Marco is setting it up for testing for the current flow. And as usual, then he will put a camera on the digital reading. You're taking the readings on the meters, both of them? Where you read? You have virgin meters downstairs, huh? If you want to set up for the other one. You have one more unit downstairs, a virgin unit. You can put up. And then we put it on the live camera, or we take a reading today, and then on Thursday we give you another reading and the rest of it. So your power units, your car units, it's all in its way, or so you might have received some. And in a way, we put the test through and see what happens. What is important that these power units are not just for energy. In the coming time, we show you how to use these power units in conjunction with other units, which is coming, the health units, to be used for what we call processing. What you got to do? Oh, you got one. Are you sure it's a power unit? It's a car unit. Yeah. We have received today a batch of seven car power units and three car units, which we're just opening it. As you see it, you receive it with a leaflet, with a documentation, and a disclaimer by the factory, and with all the CE certification and the rest which has been issued for it. The unit, as you see, this is a power unit with its wire and with its box. They are held the Italian way with the three elastics. And this is more or less what you're going to get, plus the, what do you call it, the phase measurement system to show the phase of it. And I want to do the cutting for you, Marco. The standard cable for the energy, which is put intact with input, and you have to follow the marking on the phase which is on it. The reason for this is important is that when you produce energy from these systems, you can, in a coming time, use the output of the system for one purpose, which is the health application. In producing enough energy for processes of health, which you might have, be it cancer, be it diabetic, be it emotional or psychosomatic. In time, it'll be added, and our people in research and development, which are set up, they will assess everything before launch or whatever they might do before it goes to production. In so many ways, this way, you at least have an opportunity to be able to look after your health in a space. These units, in essential, will become part of the standard mandatory part of any space flight in the future, because they carry all the plasmas needed for the systems which are physically manufactured or determined for a space travel by those who prefer that kind of motion. In essence, what you do, your body has a directional field flow. You've seen the process where, for example, you have the skin and you place the pen, what we call a paint pen, on it, and you're allowed the transfer of so many ways energy through and within a system where the field flow is like, very much like this. This field flow from the system, this be it your magnetic or gravitational field, when it comes into the body and interfaces or comes across a section where the energy is different in respect to its environment, then it interacts with this entity, with this, what you call, change of field strength. And because it works in trying to receive and give, to bring balance between all the sections of your body, then this is what happens. In a way, the fields from your pen or from the system which you have, your energy units, will create a balance, trying to find a balance between this environment and here. And in going through this process, in finding the balance, then it receives or it gives energy to or from the system. In so many ways, if he needs it, it gives it, and if he needs it, it takes it back. And what this happens, when he finds a balance in energy, this is where you find out, in so many ways, what you call no pain condition. So over time, when this balance is achieved, this is what you're going to get. The totality, in a way, without the pain. And in fact, what happens is that the pain becomes part of even being there, not existing in so many ways. So this is what your process of your pens and the energy units will do. In the coming time, you change these pens with units which refracts in a way as you see your unit which you see nowadays, and all you do from it, you feed in the same position. Then your Saka unit in a specific way will be tuned for all kinds of diseases. So you'll find out slowly the next couple of units. This is what they do. You have a cancer cell which sits within the center of the structure. What you do is you interact the same way with the cancer cell. That's all they're going to do. And then the same process goes on in finding balance with the cancer cell, with this environment. And then in a more structural way, you can bring, you bring systems in, which this can cover literally, if it's the other side of this system, which brings, you can put the body of the man, which gets covered more or less by the same kind of energy, and it brings balance to totality. So you don't need to do one section, you cover the whole body of the man with the field units in a very direct way, which means you cover everything which the system can give. And these kind of systems, we are not looking for a physical change. We are looking with the more powerful system of this in medical processing and health processing, is to interact both in a way to give and take in the same way as physical as well as emotional. So the new systems which come into operation is what we call psychosomatic units, because majority of the illnesses of man comes through psychological, and this system the same way will find peace or balance in understanding of the emotion, which changes the whole structure of the health application today. Today when you get sick, you go to a doctor, they give you a tablet to fight the headache, to fight the pain, but they do not handle the cause of the pain. You go back with the same kind of illnesses, fibromyalgia, Alzheimer's, and everything else. The new structure of the health is totally different. You deal with the essence of the cause, and because emotion is a gravitational magnetic field, now you enter a zone where not only the cause is sorted, but the effect, which is physical manifestation, will be sorted too. This is essential if health is going to move from tablets and injections and God knows side effects and everything else aside, because you're pushing, you inject, you take medicine, which is only targeted for a physical change, but you do not sort out the emotion. And the emotional part creates a disbalance, which what we call more or less is part of the side effects, because it's not acceptable, but you're forced to change. If you read, wow, that's a big boy you brought. This process is essential, because what the medicine will change in the next 6 months, once we put out the medical units in a health application as a plasma transfer, you will understand how much more effective the process of reversal of diseases will become. In a coming time, we started it in the past few weeks with the pens. Now we've seen the pads, which has been out for now nearly over a year, in the next couple of months. And then we go to the process of the production of what we call psychosomatic power units, which can deal not only with the physical change, but the emotional balance. It'll be very interesting to see how fast people will react to diseases which are psychosomatic. Is there a problem?
No, he's just
resistive. It's a process, non-resistive. Maybe, we don't know. Add it and see. You will enlighten us. Make sure it's on the floor, because then we cannot see. It's very bright. Put it under the table. I know this light. Maybe we need it here because it looks bright, then it's too dark here for the teaching. maybe good solution. So what is the next step with this process is now developing new systems for health, new system for health in the space. I keep on emphasizing our health processing is for a space technology in the spaceship program, and what comes out like a pen pads and the rest are the fallout of the new spaceship industry. We see it. Number of people have started manufacturing. Number of people are putting these goods into the market. Different versions of it, different understanding of it. And this is where the next step will come. In a way, as I explained before, now we have more units. We can show how they fit. The next unit will fit into this like this. So you have your first unit. Now the circle starts developing. We have the power unit, we have the most probably the generator in the coming time. Then we add the next member here, medical, food, and then material, and then we have the what we call emotional unit. Then you see the circle completes totally. Then we'll see the interaction of even the fields between the six, what it will produce for development of new technologies. Health application, if is not physical damage, in a way accidental, where people you get hit, amputation, whatever, more or less through this technology can be handled in all directions. At least attempts can be made for to understand new structures, new developments and new understanding without interaction of any physical material, like injections and tablets and whatever else it could be. As I explained, now that we understand the process of regrowth, then we have to look into this process that if the regrowth can be or is part of the psychological aspects of the development. If you have a heart defect at birth, if you have also some physical defects at birth, can we find out that what we call now genetic deformation or whatever can be corrected with these new systems? Genetic engineering now with the systems starts looking and will look into a totally different dimension. Can we add through plasmatic gravitational magnetic field into the genes where it's damaged that we create a structure that fits into the damage, and as its gravitational magnetic field naturally takes its place and replaces or adjusts the genetic deformation? There is a huge opening. Now that we're going to what we call direct commercialization, the next step today is the health teaching. This technology will change all the health aspects as we know. Would it be the next step? When I put the questions to you, would it be? It means for you to develop. It's for you to extend the knowledge. Keshe Foundation is all the people who listen to it and follow it. It's not me anymore or a few people who run the administration or operation in the background. Now the Keshe Foundation, in a structure, working more or less, runs into hundreds. And in the coming months, it'll run into tens of thousands. We see it, we are setting it up. And in that process, we have to open the whole knowledge, not in one section, at a given time. So what's going to happen to the health application? How far can we extend the knowledge of man now that we have found a more direct, effective, and parallel to life? Would we use it? Or can we develop new technologies that can overcome most of what we could not and have not managed to change in the health aspects applications for thousands of years. One of the things which we look into very early on in that, once we're feeding the health units out, is, for example, people who are born blind. How can we create a direction, a plasmatic magnetic field, that through the plasma, which is the same as the information carried from the, let's say, the eye into the brain, if there is a misconnection, we can create a plasmatic system that sees to it. It's an exact information transfer, that blindness does not exist. We've done some research on this, and it's correct. It will be one of the most effective ways to overcome blindness. Because you replace the whole information in the context of the brain itself and the neurosystem, which is mainly based on the CO2 and some calcium, you can create the right magnetic field that the information from the eye was absorbed and is correct, can be transferred to the right place in the brain. We've done this 2 or 3 times. Blindness is not and shall not be what we see at this moment of time. If there are those who want to extend the knowledge that way, it's the most effective way of transfer of information through plasmatic condition. The other possibilities is the same. Possible, very possible. The only process at the moment which we do not see a solution, and in the future, there is a possibility, could be, is when the spinal cord at certain points are crushed. Where in fact, happen, if this is your spinal cord, with strands going down, the strands all become one. And this becoming one, like getting squished or is a position, and at this moment of time, we don't see a solution. Or do we find a way that at a point of where it's crushed or squeezed together, we can bypass through a plasmatic condition and carry on with the information? At this moment of time, I've done a lot of research on this. This is the blind spot in this knowledge. The biggest problem is when you look at the end of the spinal cord, what you have is this mesh, which is the biggest problem. If you look at the end of the spinal cord, you have this. All the nerve system, if you look at it, they are like this. And when it's cut in a point, can we find, for example, the matching one of this one with this one that feeds to your leg? Because when it's squashed, it's all get muddled up. Don't forget your spinal cord is like a toothpaste. When you squeeze it out, doesn't matter where it's come from, the structure, it gets squeezed through the same thing. This is the only point at this moment which we cannot address. More or less anything else can be addressed. You can find a solution for in processing. You can create a condition, gravitational magnetic field condition, the strength of the heart valve to allow the heart to repair, that you don't need open heart surgeries. You can create the conditions where you have blockage in the veins of the heart. You can create a very soft condition that they can open up. You can rejuvenate them. It's been done. It's not a theory. We've done it in 2 or 3 cases. You can do the same thing with the lung channels. Because now we understand that every organ of the body of the man, every single cell in the body of the man operates in a gaseous state, not in a matter state. And a gaseous state is a plasmatic condition. And now that we create a plasma in these systems, it depends if at this point we decide to create a the strength with the strength of the heart valve, and then allow it to reproduce itself. Then you produce, you replace. Open heart surgeries, open lung surgeries, open stomach surgeries in a very short time become history. Because we didn't need to do it. There is no need for interfering with the internal when you can create the full condition in a different way. The health development of this technology is so immense that for those who stay on Earth, they have a totally new solutions. We see it. It's been tested over 15 years. It's not something which is new. It's not something that we're going to test. It's just translating the solid state plasma condition into the dynamic plasma condition reactors as you see them here. This is the future of the health, and it needs hundreds of thousands of people to bring it into totality. It's not the work of one man or one group. We started, and in the coming time, more and more scientists educated in plasma, understanding the work of physicality of the man in a gas state, will bring this new technology. We are doing enormous amount of testing in the background with different people, with different places we have set up. You can put your testimonials, whatever. These things in time has to be systematically organized and be brought up. There is no possibility, as I don't see it, there is no possibility, no chance in the coming time that anyone will live without arm or leg or a finger or a toe. There is a possibility that we can even regenerate or restart the process of the recycling of the brain to reprocess the production of the missing arm and leg. Not the fresh one. As I said, by the end of December, we will produce a number of units distributed across all the doctors in Europe and across the world who would like to use these new simple systems for reproduction of organs and arms and toes and everything else. It's just that going through the production, going through the manufacturing, was not a priority for us. Now that we have got involved in production, we go for the full extent of the knowledge to be at the reach of every man on the street. Can man abuse these systems? No. Because you cannot target plasma if the plasma is not there to accept it. Abuse of systems for what they call psychological targeting is more or less zero because it works on what you need and not what you force it to accept. You can change the environment, but they still take the totality balance of the environment. In the coming weeks, we show you maybe early in December, total brain structure of what we call beautiful people. We've seen it. So we can show it. You can for the first time see possible plasmatic condition of a structure of what we call beautiful people and what you call schizophrenic. No. I'll show it to you. You will see it. It's very interesting. It's very, very interesting how you can, through the new systems using CO2, more or less start structuring brain behavior. Because you interact with the plasma, you see the existence of, or we have started in that bracket, the existence of the second working entity within the structure of the brain. These are advanced health technologies which we are looking at, and there is some work done with it. These are just scratching the surface. In the second part of the second week of the December, we might show one of these pictures. because it's for the first time we have the capability to understand the work of the brain as it is. Is it? Would it be? Do we show all the signs of our health through our physical condition? As we've seen, the Chinese health will show you the toes, different position for the toes, and now Western health tries to follow. Each spot on your body has more or less to do with your kidney, with your liver, whatever, whatever, whatever. Do we interact directly with a system like this at a point of pain? Where we give and take, and the information carries at the point of bladder, kidney, whatever. We don't need. Do we go to the position of taking and giving? Can we replace dialysis machines with this technology? The answer is 100% yes. It's just a matter of weeks or months before the major breakthrough in the health through these systems come. Now we have a very talented, a strong research team, especially connected with the health, and the research, what we call the innovation team, will bring you these things in the coming time. This is...
Okay. We're going to stop there, but he's just getting into it, and I encourage you, as you have a computer, he's got all these multicolored pens for the board. And I noticed when he was saying he was surrounding the energy with the plasma all around the whole human body, he put pink. And then he added another layer to that auric space and he put violet. It's just very interesting. And even though you can't see and you don't have a computer, his discussion and the vibration that he's talking on and bringing in is very, very, a very worthy and a very exciting piece. I had no idea that there was going to make the original plasma unit is the center unit. And then there's four more units around and it makes a whole circle. And it's just like, it's, you just have to see what he's getting into. And I mean, now we're talking about space. We're not talking about time anymore. And that's like being in the age of the sixth sun, which we're just beginning to get some taste and touch of. So I know it's time to go. I'm just going to read a few pages here from our unicorn of Kilimanjaro. And we're almost ready to go, Rama. So just back up this truck again. This is very interesting. Where we finished reading from the last time, this very large male lion, he is circling Robert Vavra. Robert Vavra is sitting and he's looking at his camera and he's getting ready to take a little picture of the camera, you might say, with the camera. And the lion is stopped and he's got one paw and one of the front paws up and he's got his head and he's looking extremely curious and intent at the man with the camera. He has never seen one of those before. It's hysterical because this is massive, huge, handsome character doing that. And so then the next page, it says, lion gets to his feet. His concentration as he passes produces electricity between us. Right now, as just a single wish were mine, how I would join with him. Instead of being a human sitting here, dressed in a silly suit with a cold piece of metal in my hands. Now, this is going to lead up to the unicorn, so we're just a few more little slices here. There is mystery in Daniel Ole Mengoru's dark Maasai eyes. This is his guide. Flashing and dimming like zebra in the night. Of one thing only I am certain, that he has seen the Nentikobe, the unicorn. And then you turn the page one more time. There's a whole group of zebras that he's got there in a little picture up there in the right-hand side. As try to sleep siesta, Maasai Mara migration stampedes my mind. Tens of thousands of hoofed, horned animals, yet no trace of the Nentikobe. Could the tree where man was born be that beneath which the last unicornus for Africanus died? This is these African trees, just magnificent tree, and the sun is setting, golden globe setting on that tree. Orange lion tail flowers, that's a real flower in Africa, stand of yellow fever trees on left, it's right there. Stepped layers of deep red rocky mountainside. It appears Nentikobe. Oh, Daniel was right. So he's on top of his Land Rover, and up in the Red Mountain rocky area, the unicorn appears. Yes, and he's filming it. So that's it for tonight, and tomorrow is another new day. Remember, don't worry, be happy. And the first law of love through all of this hoopla is to be calm. And we all are one, as our Dalai Lama told us. And inshallah, we are all another ourselves. Sat Nam.
Sat Nam Ji.
And music maestro. Don't leave us go without the music. Commander, you're on.